This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Take it, Nick. No, I won't do that to you. Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go on the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday. Packers just scored a touchdown, obviously, because that is Todd Rundgren, and that is the song that they play when they score, so that had to be on my list. Yes. Yes, Aaron Rodgers. Lambo, leap your ass off. There you go.
Terrible.
It is not terrible.
That's a horrible song.
And you would know more of his songs than just that, but you didn't take the time to look. All right, so Nick, Barry, Joel here on a Wednesday, and we have good things for you. And as we always like to do, when we have pertinent things in the sporting world that we can bring to you, we try and do our best to do just that. And with that being said, we have good things right now. Bob Perez is joining us on the phone. Cormier is the opponent for Derek Lewis. Just announced, was it last night?
Yeah, in fact, right when we went off the air, I saw Bob posted on his Facebook, mentioned it, so we got to get it to the Blitz right away. But without further ado, Bob, man, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me. Barry, long time no see, brother.
Dude, no kidding. I was just thinking about that when I texted you last night. I was like, God, when I sent you the text, I was like, we haven't talked in a while. It's been a really long time, in fact.
It's been a long time. And I was talking to Cody Owens about you. I mean, I was like, dude, Barry and I go back to high school, man.
Yeah.
It's insane, dude. And then, of course, coming up, you know, together in the MMA community here, it's been kind of awesome for everybody.
I want to talk about that for a second. We're going to get to the fight. I want to talk about this last fight that Derek had and the fight coming up that he had, because that's obviously important. But I think the thing that might get missed in some of this is some of the accomplishments that you've had. You started off, I mean, I knew you when you were at 4 Ounce. You were a boxer in high school. Talk about what this ride has been like, because, you know, Derek was he was an opponent of your fighters coming up, which I don't think a lot of people know that, when he was with Coach Tony at Silverback. And
yeah, he fought Rakeem, man. Yeah. He fought Rakeem for legacy. Yeah, so it's crazy. Derek and I have been together about 5 years now, but, you know, I guess going back, coming up, you know, I've been in combative sports like my whole life. I was never an MMA guy or a good fighter. I did some amateur boxing, some kickboxing, and Muay Thai smokers, but I've never been, you know, quote unquote, a fighter. I kind of found my role by accident as a coach, and it just kind of happened, man. I think I read people well. I can communicate with them well, and I obviously understand, you know, all aspects of fighting, and it just kind of happened, and then just developed fighter after fighter after fighter. And, man, it's just been an amazing, amazing ride, and I feel fortunate. But about 5 years ago, Derek and Tony, unfortunately, you know, they had a falling out. Derek hit me up, and, you know, kind of the rest is history. I've definitely, I think, been able to Derek will never be a technical guy. He's never going to be a pretty fighter. So I just try to take his natural attributes, amplify them just a bit, you know, so build on his strengths and try to kind of minimize his weaknesses as much as I possibly can. But Derek, he's not a mixed martial artist. He's not a martial artist. Derek is a prize fighter. Derek fights to provide for his family. It's never going to be pretty. It's going to be a dogfight every time. But if he touches you, you're going to sleep.
Well, and a lot of people don't know this, because I remember back in 2010, 2011, when Legacy was getting its feet under it, and a lot of people don't know, this isn't your first UFC fighter. Daniel Pineda was a guy that fought in the UFC that you coached before, and I think that that's kind of helped. But I did want to say kudos to you, man, because I saw you grind. I saw you coaching these local guys for so many years and getting better at your craft, and I think it's great that you're now at the mountaintop. You're at this level where you've got a guy fighting for a UFC title on the biggest stage in the world, man. And congratulations to you. And I know you've put in the hard work.
Man, thank you so much, man. I mean, I've cornered, honestly, man, probably close to 1,000 fights. You know, Pineda was definitely, you know, our first that, you know, we had from like day one. We got all the way there. And that was an incredible feat. And I've worked with about, I guess, around 16 or 17 UFC fighters. I think I've cornered over 40 UFCs, you know, by now. But, you know, getting to this level, you know, we're going to be picked to lose. We're supposed to lose, but I don't see that happening. And in my head, you know, we're going to win. But my point is, even getting to that level, Barry, is just a mind-blowing experience for me, man. It's just it's a win-win for us.
Yeah, and now let's talk a little bit about Derek because you mentioned it and you said, you know, he's not technical. How frustrating is that? Because I know you as a coach. I mean, you and I, you used to hold pads for me when I was fat and trying to get in shape and learning Muay Thai, and you taught me how to fight, and I love it. But how frustrating is that? Because you're a very technical coach, which is the complete opposite of what Derek Lewis is in the cage.
You know, I think that's one of the, first of all, it was very frustrating. I know Derek as a person now, you know, not just as a fighter. So I know when he's going to break, you know, mentally, you know, I'm like, okay, this is too much information. He doesn't like it. He's not going to use it. Derek needs a jab, a cross, and a hook, you know, his uppercut. I don't like him kicking, you know, I really work on kicking with him. He has been wrestling, you know, a bit lately, but like, dude, I mean, it's not a pretty punch, you know, and I just accept it for what it is. It's just beautiful violence coming out of him. You know, it's a dogfight, like I said, man. And so it was frustrating. It's not that bad anymore. But yeah, man, of course, this is how you parry a punch. This is how you slip a punch. This is how you do it. No. Swinging and banging. That's what we do.
And they'll show you on the fights when you watch Derek Lewis fight, they'll cut to his corner and it'll be you. And sometimes it's Larry Crow or sometimes it's somebody else, but you're the main corner guy and you're giving him advice. How frustrating is it that he's listening to maybe 10% of what you're telling him? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, with a Gonzaga fight, he actually heard me, and we had actually drilled it. We knew that every time, you know, he was going to touch Gonzaga, Gonzaga was going to dip the head. So we're looking for a strong side uppercut. So uppercut, hook, cross, and that's exactly what he knocked him out with. And that is, you know, he actually said, you know, I heard coach call for it. And dude, that was just mind-blowing, you know. Derek, you know, sometimes he listens, sometimes he doesn't, but that's kind of all fighters, man, honestly. The one thing, excuse me, that I try to do with Derek, and if you listen to the fight before the third round, I try to motivate Derek. I try to give him as much technical instruction as I can, but I try to get in his head. And like I said in my post, you know, if my words can, you know, turn into actions, then I'm doing my job. And I do think I kind of lit a fire under him, just kind of him reminding him the sense of urgency. You know, man, we got to finish this fight. And I try to tell him how we did it, and that's pretty much what he did. But I didn't want him to do it with 11 seconds left. I thought I was going to die, man.
I can only imagine. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, Derek has all the punching power in the world. I don't think there's a harder hitter in the UFC and probably in combat sports than him. But
I agree 100%, dude. I've held for a lot of, like, high-level, you know, heavyweight boxers or Muay Thai guys, other high-level MMA guys. I have never ever seen anybody A, hit as hard as Derek, B, have the staying power that Derek has. It's very rare at any weight class that you'll see a fighter hit equally as hard, if not harder, in the last seconds of a fight as he does in the first round. And Derek absolutely has that. He has a granite chin, and man, he's just down to fight, man. That's the best way to say it.
How has he been able to get as far as he's gotten in the UFC? Because if we're being honest, he doesn't have any technical ground skills. He's strong. I mean, I saw him. I remember the fight against the Alaskan black belt here in Houston where he just lifted him. The black belt, I forget his name, Ricky something. But
Ricky Shivers,
full mount. I always tell the story. It was so impressive that Derek just basically picked him up off of him and threw him aside. And you don't do that to black belts when they have mount on you, but he's done that. But talk about how you navigate a fight where the guy that doesn't have really any wrestling or jiu-jitsu skills on the ground, he doesn't have a lot of technical striking or boxing or clinch work. What do you do with that? And as a coach, how are you helping him in those fights?
Well, you know, so obviously I do give him, you know, the technical instruction.
Sure.
And, you know, if he's wrestling or doing some jiu-jitsu, he is learning things the proper way. But he doesn't drill. He doesn't spar.
Man.
You know, so it's hard to build that muscle memory. And you've trained before without, you know, drilling. Drillers make killers. Drill, uh-huh. Drill, 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 drill. So I remember with the Roy Nelson fight, getting to, like, the ground aspect. Roy had side control, and we had talked about this. Like, do not let that man get you in a crucifix because it's disgusting. You know, Roy finished a lot of people from there. So I remember Roy getting side mount, and I'm, you know, Derek, get your right elbow in, and I need you to bump and give me an underhook. And I said it twice, and he looks over at me, I swear to you, and he's like, I'm good. And then he just bench pressed Roy Nelson off of him. And I've never seen that happen. Gonzaga had his back, three-time world champion jiu-jitsu. had his back. One of the, you know, the most accomplished jiu-jitsu guys ever to fight in the UFC. Derek just shook him off, man. You know, you can't hold Derek down. You can take him down. You can't hold him down. So, you know, everything he does on the ground technically is incorrect, but he's beating the highest level guys doing it. And it blows my mind. I don't know how to answer your question. Like, I don't know how he does it. He's just a freak, man. And I mean that in the most complimentary way, you know, possible.
So tell me how this fight's going to go. What is this? First of all, before we do that, I want to ask you, because the first thing I thought of when AJ broke the news, we were kind of talking about it, but it seems so soon. I mean, November 3rd is just around the corner in regards to training. I mean, what's y'all's average camp? 6 weeks, 8 weeks before
it's
you train for a fight?
Generally, yeah. About 8 weeks.
This is
and
this
just, you
seems
know, Derek
short.
Is in the gym more than an hour. He says he's like off the top. He's in the gym more than an hour. He usually does two a days. He's been getting wrestling in. Don't listen to everything he says. You know, yeah. But yeah, man. So, I'm sorry, man. I cut you off.
No, it's all good. But this is a short notice fight against one of the best heavyweights in the world, obviously, in Daniel Cormier. What is it between now and November 3rd that you're focused on? Is it getting out to BVMMA and working with those guys on wrestling, because they're kind of one of the wrestling camps in our area? What is y'all's focus for the next couple of weeks? Because you don't have much time left.
First and foremost, Derek's not going to learn how to out wrestle DC in 20 days. You know, he's, and this is the thing, you know what DC is going to do. We know this. But we're not worried about what DC is going to do. We're focused on what we need to do, and that's punch him in the face and knock him out. So obviously we're going to be working wrestling. We go to Bubba, you know, we were going twice a week. We're going to hit four or five times a week, getting some wrestling in. I also have a coach coming from the Olympic Training Center that's going to be working with Derek. You know, we're going to try to simulate the fight as much as you can. But, I mean, to be quite honest with you, all we really need to do is obviously focus on his conditioning. But the only way to get true fighting conditioning or fight conditioning is to spar more, to roll more, to wrestle more. You know, you can do these supplemental things all you want. You can, I don't know, strength and conditioning or go run or all these things. Bottom line is, in order to prepare for a fight, as far as conditioning goes, that's what you have to do. Well, and nothing gets you more tired than wrestling.
Yeah. Now, the last question, and I wanted to talk about that, because he said he wasn't ready for a title fight because of his gas tank. I don't know that Derek's ever going to have great cardio just because of who he is, how he's built, and the way he trains. Is that a concern for you going into this? Because Cormier seems to have a gas tank that can go 5, 6, 7 rounds.
Well, this is the thing. Cormier's coming off of a broken hand. I don't think he's trained since he fought. I really don't. And this is kind of a last-minute fight. Derek can have one breath left in him, and he's going to knock you out. You know, so everybody talks about how bad his cardio is. Coach, you got to hit. No crap. I mean, like, I've been doing this a long time. I know this. You make Derek do it. Well, better yet, why don't you fight Derek and see how that works out for you? You know, you just have all these people giving me their advice. Dude, I've been doing this my whole life.
Yeah.
I know what he needs, but Derek is Derek. You know, so, and also his cardio is so bad. It's so bad. Look at him in between rounds. Compare that to a lot of other fighters, even fighters at lighter weights. So Derek says all of these things. He made a reference to his lower extremities after this fight. They weren't hot. He's putting on a show. You know, like, Derek says these things, you know. So he's a funny guy, dude. You know, so don't take everything he says, you know, as gospel.
There you go.
So, you know, I don't like him saying I'm not ready for a title. I don't like him saying I'm not ready for five rounds. He absolutely deserves the title. He's 9 out of the last 10 with 88% finish rate.
Wow.
You know, against the best guys in the world. So he absolutely deserved the title shot. But Derek gets upset with his performances, and he gets emotional, and he says these things. So he wasn't happy with his fight. I wasn't happy with this fight. Obviously, I was happy with the outcome. But, of course, he's like, man, you know, so he's immediately kind of reevaluating things, and he says what he feels at that moment. That does not make it true.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, Bob. I know it was short notice, but I wanted to get this out there after it broke. So thank you for being here. We need to look at bringing you in for all the cards that y'all aren't on so you can help us break down these UFC fights. I think it would be a good time, man. But best of luck to you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, we need to catch up off air and just get a beer or something. But best of luck to you, man, and bring home that title November 3rd.
We'll do our best, man. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, sir. That's Crew Bob Perez. You can follow him. By the way, good follow on Instagram and Twitter. I think it's Crew Bob Perez on Instagram and Twitter. He does like techniques of the week, and he talks to the. Go out and check him out on Instagram and Twitter as well.
There you have it. There you have it. Good stuff from Bob and from Barry. We're going to continue with more. Don't go anywhere. This is hour number two of the 3-hour Big Show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.